Hello, welcome to My Cape York Life, stories from the people who live on and care for Cape York. I'm Lyndall Scobel from Cape York Natural Resource Management. As I travel the Cape, I'm amazed and inspired by the people finding innovative ways to meet the challenges of living here. You'll meet them on My Cape York Life and get to know this beautiful and remote landscape through their eyes and through their experiences.
When we were at Lakefield a couple of times, you know, you'd get people that were dropped off trawlers in Princess Charlotte Bay, and then they just start walking, and you just find them in the middle of nowhere walking along in their underpants or something. You do see some funny things in the bush.
It's amazing.
Wadjal Wadjal sound nice, you got to say it twice. That's where the rainforest meets the sea.
How was it raising kids on Cape York?
Well, I think we all had a good time. I grew up with them. Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to ask them. But anyway, I had a good time bringing them up. Whether they enjoyed it or not, I don't know. But they're still hanging around.
My Cape York Life is brought to you by Cape York Natural Resource Management with the support of the Australian Government's National Landcare Program. You can find all of our episodes on your favourite podcast app or on our website at landmanager.capeyorknrm.com.au. This time, a common Cape York experience. You see someone you know driving along the PDR, which is Cape York's main road, so you stop for a chat. And we hear one of the younger voices being heard in Cape York conversations, Jessie Price. Jessie works in environmental management and community engagement, working with South Cape York Catchments, a community-based natural resource management organisation based in Cooktown. When I met Jessie, she was heading back after a week in the heat doing wetland monitoring at remote Port Stewart on the eastern Cape York coast. We pulled up at the airstrip at Violet Vale Station, just off the PDR, and talked about Jessie's life as a young mum working in environmental management and her love for Cape York.
I'm Jessie Price, work for South Cape York Catchments, working on the Reef Alliance grazing project for Cape York with Cape York NRM. We're here today meeting with a number of graziers from across this sort of southern and central area of Cape York to discuss a whole heap of stuff. Lots of stuff that we're telling them about, and then also lots of discussion about what they'd like to see done over the next couple of years through this project and through other Cape York NRM projects.
And can you tell us a little bit about this place where we're sitting right now, and what it looks like and how it feels?
Yeah, so sitting on the end of the airstrip at Violet Vale, it's a beautiful day today. Beautiful skies, nice breeze, not so hot anymore. It's been a stinking hot week, and today's actually shaping up to be a lot better than it's been, which is nice.
So you've just been up here for the whole week. What have you been doing, and who have you been with, and what's been going on?
Yeah, so I've just spent a week on the wetlands around Port Stewart and Silver Plains Station with Lumma Lumma Rangers. It's part of a wetland monitoring program that we've been doing with them since, I think about 2010 was the first year the catchment group went up and did wetlands with them. And this was my fifth year up there, so a bit different this time as I had my seven-month-old baby girl with me as well.
How was that?
It was an adventure. I might have been a little bit optimistic thinking it would be A-OK, but we've both gotten out alive. That's all that matters.
That's the main thing.
That's it, yes. It was very hot. No wind, steamy. So it was a bad week to have a baby on the wetlands of Cape York.
So it's interesting up here at this time of year. It is pretty steamy. What is it? Can you tell us what it feels like and describe what it might have been like in that stillness? Because a lot of people from the south may not appreciate just how crippling it can get up here.
Yeah, this is a glorious time of year called the build-up, where the wet season is imminent. The winds, the trade winds from the southeast have finally basically dropped out. You might still get a bit of a sea breeze, but nothing like they were a couple of months ago. So the sun is hell, beats down on you mercilessly. I think the worst part of it is that actually just the humidity. So you're sweating and it just sticks to you. There's no breeze. It's a different sort of feeling to the rest of the year when you've got beautiful breezes. Mm-hmm. But it's humidity is something that's very difficult to explain to people who've never experienced it.
I think sometimes it's the stillness, and it is almost crippling at some days.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
It feels very heavy.
Thick.
Yeah. Thick.
Yeah, the air feels thick.
Mm.
And wet.
And wet. Yeah.
Jess, you haven't always lived on the Cape, though, have you?
No, we moved to Cooktown when I was about 15. Before that, we moved around a lot, actually. We started off in southeast Queensland. Mum and Dad, well, Dad managed a cattle property. Mum had bees, actually. She reared queen bees. And then after a few years there, we moved all over Territory, central Queensland, the Kimberley, Carnarvon in Western Australia as well, Emerald. And we were in Emerald and we came to Cooktown on a family holiday. And Mum saw one of the old guest houses on the main street, Seagren's Inn. And as we drove past this, well, it was in pretty good nick, but it was pink. It was very pink, still is very pink. And as we drove past, Mum said, "Oh, what a beautiful place. If that place was for sale, I'd buy it." And of course, we got to the real estate agency because Mum was already halfway in the process of buying a house in Cooktown for some unknown reason. And yeah, when we got to the real estate agency, what do you know, Seagren's Inn is for sale. And so, yeah, within a couple of months, Mum had moved up. We finished out the school year in Emerald, but then moved up, at the end of 2003. I did 1 year of school in Cooktown, but after that, we made the decision that boarding school was probably a better option. So I just did grade 11 and 12 in Cairns. Yeah, and then came home for a gap year. So I thought I was enrolled to do law and international relations at Brisbane Uni, UQ. And I came home for the one gap year and make a bit of money before moving off to the big smoke sort of thing. And a traineeship with National Parks was advertised in the newspaper. And I thought, oh, I like camping. That sounds like fun. I can do that.
Give that a go.
Yeah. So one gap year turned into three. By the time I'd finished with National Parks, I went off to uni and did environmental science instead of law, thankfully.
So Jess, all of those places that you have lived in, what was your favourite?
They were all beautiful. I mean, living in Carnarvon, not far from Ningaloo Reef, was amazing. We'd have week-long camping trips up there and just spend the week on the reef.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. Kimberley, obviously, beautiful. Territory, we were near on Douglas Daly DPI Research Station, so they're near Litchfield National Park, not far from Kakadu, so it's all pretty spectacular through there as well, of course. Central Queensland's got its own beauty as well, but obviously the Cape is where I've decided to put down roots. And
So what is it about the Cape that you've connected with so strongly?
I was thinking about this the other day as I drove up. This was my first field trip for the year after maternity leave. And I was thinking about it as I turned off Endeavour Valley Road onto the Battle Camp, just wondering what it was about the place that has kept me. Because I don't always love Cooktown. I don't always love living in Cooktown. Some weekends when it's a Saturday night and the main street's just ghost town, I do wonder, what on earth am I doing here? I'd love to go to the theatre or to a show or to something like that, or to a restaurant that had another person in it would be nice. But I think it's from that Battle Camp turn off, and just from there I can't begin to imagine the connection that traditional owners have with country, but I certainly get a feeling as I hit that area that something akin to it, I think. Just worries fall away and feel lighter and different. And I love working to protect this amazing place because it deserves it, despite what Brisbane and Canberra might think. Mm-hmm. We have problems up here. We have issues up here. It's not the pristine Cape York that everybody down south tends to imagine.
And it hasn't been for a long time.
No, it hasn't. We're finally seeing a change in the government and in what they see is priority up here. But yeah, we're looking at historical issues quite often.
Mm-hmm. So, Jess, you got a job with Parks in the Cooktown office.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of work were you doing with them?
Oh, I had a dream traineeship. Before me, there were four trainees across Cape York, and then the year that I got a traineeship, it was just me. So I got sent all over the Cape. I did a stint with Marine Parks in the Torres Straits. I went up to Heathlands, out to Lockhart, did a little stint in Cowan, plenty of time on Lakefield, now obviously Ringaroo. I couldn't even pick a favourite. Was it, I don't know, jumping on crocodiles with Australia Zoo? Was it the helicopter monitoring? The 2 weeks in the Torres Straits on the Reef Heron were pretty spectacular.
Mm.
I did all sorts of stuff. I was a very lucky trainee.
Mm.
So
how old were you at the time?
Just turned 18.
Just turned 18. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So amazing.
Mind was blown.
Yeah. But that led you to change your direction in study.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do and where did you study?
By the time I'd finished my third year with Parks, I was ready for uni. The time had come. Even though I was really enjoyed working for National Parks, I still knew I wanted to go on and do some more study. But yes, actually, it's funny. For a long while, it was I'm off to uni to get a degree so I can save the turtles, and that was the driving passion. I'm going to save the turtles. I'd done some work with some of the traditional owners north of Cooktown on their turtle and dugong stuff. Parks. We did a little bit. My supervisor was an ex Marine Parks ranger, so he had a pretty serious passion for sea turtles as well. So that was my big mantra, off to uni to save the turtles. And so that obviously international relations and law wasn't going to get me there, but I decided that marine biology is more for people who want to be a volunteer for the rest of their life. So I decided on environmental science because it seemed like even if I didn't get the job saving the turtles, I'd probably still get a job.
Yeah, so the idea that about the being a volunteer, that's because there's so many people do that course. Is that what it is?
Marine biology is certainly very popular, and actually, I have a friend who did marine, and she's working on the Seychelles at the moment. So, can't say that there's no jobs, but they're certainly not particularly well paid, I don't think. And you're doing it for the love.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's big love, so that's why people do it. But
yeah.
So
you finished your uni and you came back to Cooktown.
Yeah, well, I decided I finished my last year of uni externally and came back to Cooktown. I don't even really remember why, to be perfectly honest. Just seemed like a good... I think the decision stemmed from lots of my third year subjects were actually intensive field trip subjects, so I'd only have 2 weeks of contact and then the rest was the field trip. So that last year, and I wanted to do a work placement subject as well, so I thought, oh, I've got a better chance of finding somewhere to do that in Cooktown. And the stars aligned, and one day I was actually down in Mareeba and I got a phone call from an unknown number and answered, and oh, hi, this is Jason Carroll. I work for a group in Cooktown, South Cape York Catchments, wondering if you'd like to come in and meet us, and we have something you might be interested in doing. I was like, oh, maybe he's heard down the grapevine that I'm looking for a work placement place. Maybe, I'm not sure. But yeah, had a meeting with Jason, and I'll never forget. It was fantastic. So I turned up at the South Cape York Catchments office, which was at that point still inside the council depot, and Jason said, it's not very nice here, let's jump in the ute, let's go for a drive, we'll have an outdoor meeting. I was like, oh, that sounds great. So we jumped in the car and drove down to Keating's and had our meeting slash what turned out to be an interview, I suppose, walking along the track there at Keating's Lagoon, and stopped at the bird hide, and yeah, it turned out Jason was looking for somebody to run a project working with one of the traditional owner groups out of Hopevale, doing some weed and fire control out on their country. And one of the other project officers, Sam, knew that I was back in town. I was working at the supermarket at the time, still doing three subjects, and yeah, decided might as well have a job as well. So she saw me there. What are you doing here? She knew me from when I worked with parks. And just finishing my degree, then I look for a job. And yeah, she decided that maybe let Jason know. And yeah, rest is history, 4.5 years later.
Yeah, has it been that long?
It has, yeah, crazy. And I've been ridiculously lucky for the first... Not that it's the start of my career, because parks, I suppose, definitely counts. But for straight out of uni, I've managed several projects. I've worked on some really exciting stuff. The wetland rapid assessment method for Cape York, developed that with NAILSMA out of Darwin. I've worked on the Eastern Cape York water quality improvement plan, which was excellent, absolutely great project. And now working with the Cape York graziers to improve water quality on their properties, which is such exciting stuff. And I think there's this ideal that lots of all of the landholders on the Cape have very little concern for water quality or any of that sort of greeny stuff, as some might say. But we're finding that is not at all the case. Just about every place that we've approached with ideas for projects or to see if they'd be interested in being involved in this grazing project, they've all been so responsive, so many ideas. Oh yeah, I've got a coastal wetland down over there. I'd love to fence it off. The cattle get in and tear it up. Or, oh yeah, we've got 10,000, 13,000 hectares up there. We'll just fence that off. We don't need to put cattle in there. And so I think at the end of the day, these graziers, they don't want to ruin the land. They don't want to ruin their properties. They are really interested in looking after it and looking after it properly. And so we're just, through Cape York NRM and the Reef Alliance, we are just giving them the help that they need to do that, because we are looking at lower producing properties. We're not in Mitchell grass country or anything like that, where there's grass coming out your ears. We are on softer, more sensitive soils. Our native pastures just don't have what that other sort of country does. So productivity-wise, they do need a hand with that sort of stuff, because it's hard at come the end of the year when you're barely making ends meet, as some of the properties are. It's hard to think about investing back into big long fences or off-stream watering points or anything like that when you can barely afford to send your kids to boarding school or anything like that. So, yeah.
But it's true, isn't it? Graziers love their country, their land. They need their land to be healthy, to be able to grow good grass, to be able to produce their cows.
Oh, definitely. That's the thing. Gullied out or flogged out or filled with weeds, they're not going to be able to keep cattle on that. So I've never worked in the grazing side of things before now. I was more the straight conservation stuff, but this blend between conservation and grazing is really fascinating. And it's all well and good that we work on all the national parks and protected areas, but there is still a lot of grazing land left on the Cape, and working with these graziers to protect these areas as well is going to have such a massive impact on things like the water quality into the reef, which is obviously so important at the moment for the resilience of the reef.
Jessie Price, a natural resource management professional with South Cape York Catchments. This is My Cape York Life, a podcast of conversations with people who live on and care for Cape York Peninsula. We're sitting in the shade and having a yarn with Jessie Price at the Violet Vale Airstrip on central Cape York. So Jess, tell us a little bit about the wetlands assessment work that you've done, because you've done a lot of work with the Lumalama traditional owners, whose country we're actually sitting on at the moment as well. So tell us a little bit about that work.
I think back in 2013, Griffith and NERP had a little bit of money to have a new method developed that the rangers could actually use by themselves. The old wetland monitoring method for Cape York was quite involved and complex and just a bit too much for rangers to be able to do by themselves. So they were reliant on people coming up to help them with that sort of stuff. So decided that a rapid assessment method that they could do by themselves was what just while they're out on country, so might be out doing something else and come past a wetland and pull up for half an hour and do another rapid assessment, and that way they were being monitored far more regularly, and it really empowered the rangers to take control of their own monitoring program. So that was developed sort of over 2013-2014 into a paper method, as well as a eye tracker application.
Jess, can you tell us why it's important to monitor wetlands?
Yeah, so wetlands are really interesting. I mean, what their role in the landscape is very interesting. They sort of act like filters on our drainage systems before water moving across the land hits the coast. You'll find wetlands in all sorts of places, in lower spots around the countryside, on drainage channels. It's particularly in the Lumma Lumma area, a lot of the wetlands are on the drainage channels. And so they do. The water obviously moves into drainage channels and then flowing away down through the catchment. They hit wetlands, and all of the aquatic vegetation, the reeds and the rushes and everything, act as natural filters before the water keeps moving on through. So they're extraordinarily important. Also, for your native animals, they're come the end of the year when most of the creeks and rivers are dry, further up away from the coast, your wetlands are the only water around, and so very important for both water quality and just for our native wildlife.
The last couple of years have been pretty huge for you. You've gotten married and you've also just had your first child. So can you tell us a little bit about your beautiful baby?
Yeah, so Claire's now 7 months old. She's fantastic. We were lucky. We've got one of those unicorn babies that sleeps all the time. She's actually just this week started getting some teething fevers and has been waking up during the night. I don't even know what to do with myself. I've grown accustomed to 9 hours sleep a night. I get more sleep than most other adults without babies. But she is wonderful.
And how has motherhood changed you, and how, because you were back to work pretty soon after Claire came along, so how have you integrated having motherhood and your career?
Yeah, I was back to, I kept in touch whilst on full maternity leave, but I was back. Well, the government supported paid parental leave is only 18 weeks. So without getting too political here today, I think that needs to be revised. A 4.5-month-old baby is very small still, a bit little. But luckily for me, I have an extraordinarily supportive boss, Jason. From the start, before Claire had even come, he was joking that we'd need a playpen in the corner, because it wasn't just myself who had a baby this year. We had a In Cooktown, we had 4 NRM babies come along, actually. Just bam, bam, bam. Mm. 2 little girls and 2 little boys. So Jason was already, whilst I was still pregnant, was saying, we'll have a playpen in the corner and I'll play with the babies while you do what you need to do. he's been very supportive. I've been able to take Claire to the office, and we had a little box that we'd sit her up on top of my desk, and she'd sit there and play for hours, and occasionally Jason would grab her and roll around on the floor for a while and have a play, which was, I think he found it more distracting than I did, to be honest. But I was also able to work from home a lot, and now that she's getting a bit bigger, and I felt fairly confident to bring her up here this week. And it's wonderful to work for an organisation and with other organisations that are just really supportive of families, particularly, I think, because it is supporting Cape York families as well. At the end of the day, there's no option for daycare in Cooktown for babies. And I think women being able to keep their careers after having children is something that's just so important for society as well as for families. So I think there should be more of this. And it has. It's been an adjustment. There's been times when I've just thought, oh, this was all just a bit tricky. but it's so worthwhile. I'm so happy to be able to be back at work. I was going a little bit stir crazy. I was writing poems. That was when I realised, no, I need to go back to work. My brain's not happy. But yes, it's just having the support of South Cape York Catchments and Cape York and Arama has been fantastic, because she was a bit of a surprise baby. There was no planning for a child. I was actually very surprised, and I'd just taken on a new project, so that was all a bit kind of, oh no, how's a baby going to work in this mix? But she has, and so far so good.
Yeah, she's absolutely delightful, and we all like to have a go.
Yeah.
Look, share her around, Jess. We don't mind.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Here, pass the parcel, baby. It's great.
And you kind of have to be on the Cape, and, you know, and I think that's the thing, working in an environment like this, and when you're out with working with groups of people and traditional owners and grazing families, everybody has that family orientation. So it's so much, in a lot of ways, it's kind of not easier, but, you know, it's nice to know that you can bring Bub along to work when you need to.
Oh, definitely. And I think I called before I headed up to Port Stewart. I called and said, that invited me up again for the year. And it's like, oh, I do have a baby, guys. And, oh, we'll make it work. So I did. I called beforehand. It's like, okay, so I'm coming. The baby's coming too. I am bringing someone to help, but is this okay? And they just kind of laughed at me, and they're like, Jess, how many times do you end up with kids hanging off the back of your ute as you drive around Silver Plains doing this stuff? I thought, oh yeah. there's always kids. I mean, quite often we do the wetland monitoring stuff during the school holidays. And so there's kids everywhere. And at Port Stewart, there's babies and kids. It's just...
And lots of adults around too.
And lots of hands, that's it. Yeah. And that comes back to that whole it takes a village, and I think on Cape York we're just really lucky, we've got a really big village.
We do indeed. So, Jess, looking to the future now, what are your hopes for Cape York? What do you see? What are your concerns? And what are the things that you would like to see happen for the Cape in the future?
Big question. Yes. I think in the near future, I think it'd be great to see a lot more collaboration between, I do actually hate that word, but a lot more working together between the different groups across the Cape. There are lots now and more all the time. Wenlock's just formed their own catchment group and stuff like that. It'd be nice to work together as much as possible. I think, unfortunately, often there's duplication, which doesn't help anybody. People get sick of being asked the same questions or told the same stuff over and over. I'd like to see Brisbane and Canberra pay a lot more attention to what, not just what these organisations are saying, but what the Cape York locals are saying. I think if you went and asked the average grazier on the Cape whether they thought Cape York was pristine, they'd tell you where to go. They've been here, they've watched it happen, they know what's going on, so we just need to pay attention to what they're saying and look at the alternative ways of dealing with the issues that we've got. I think we do have some pretty massive issues in feral animals, in gullies and other water quality issues. The sediment is the big water quality issue on the Cape. We obviously it's not huge agricultural areas or horticultural areas that we get the nitrogen or herbicide, insecticide runoff. So sediment's the big issue for water quality. And there's a lot of young people who are becoming more and more interested in NRM, this sort of work. Our trainee has just finished after 2 years, school-based trainee, and she fronted up to the Cape York NRM and South Cape York Catchments school.
Careers Day.
So as a bubbly grade eighter, this young lady fronted up to the Cape York NRM and South Cape York Catchments stall at the Careers Day and said, I want to be a ranger. And, Oh, that's excellent. And yeah, she's made it happen. She's just finished a 2-year school-based traineeship with the catchment group, and now she's keen on continuing in this work. And that's, I'd love to see that there was opportunities for her, because she is a full-blown, she is born and bred Cooktown local, and it would be really devastating if there wasn't job opportunities for her, for somebody who is so passionate and who's lived here their whole life and spends time camping and fishing and all of that sort of stuff. So has this local knowledge that shouldn't be wasted. So I think we need to make sure that we do have opportunities like I got. And that's the thing, I'm very lucky. I'm a young person who got those opportunities, and what's been created in me is this intense loyalty for Cape York. So I think we definitely need to make sure we can continue to foster the next generation of people coming through, and make sure there are opportunities for them.
Jess, can I ask you how old you are?
28.
28, and so you've had, it was 18, you said, when you started working for parks. Mm. So that's 10 years experience that you've had, actually, in 10 years of hard work, and, you know, you've worked hard at it to be able to get where you are and to be able to stay with South Cape York Catchments. It hasn't been a walk in the park, really. It has, but it hasn't. You know, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been 10 years and 7 years of work and 3 years of uni.
So what advice would you give a young person who wanted to pursue a career in natural resource management on the Cape?
I think just get involved and let people know. Like, we're a pretty approachable bunch. As Katie figured out pretty quickly, she wanted a traineeship. She got a traineeship. She did too. It was her idea. She approached the school and told them, and then school approached the catchment group. So if you're keen, if you're interested, actually say something. Give the catchment group or Cape York Canarum a call and ask what the opportunities are. Both organisations are very, very interested in supporting younger people. So I think that's the first bit of advice. And the other is just, there's lots of volunteer stuff going on too, so just get involved. We just had a volunteer clean-up day over the weekend and stuff like that. We make it as fun as we possibly can, and you get to know people. So, yeah.
So, Jess, we're about to head into a meeting here. We better get ourselves going. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit with me this morning on this beautiful December morning at Violet Vale Station.
Thank you for thanks for the chat. Very nice, and it is a beautiful morning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Absolutely glorious.
Yeah.
Although the clouds are building up over there. Could get a bit hot later on. I've learned to pick this week.
Thanks, Jess. Jessie Price, a natural resource management professional who works with South Cape York Catchments, based in Cooktown, Cape York Peninsula. My Cape York Life is a podcast made by Cape York Natural Resource Management with support from the Australian Government's National Land Care Program. I tell you, my little home is Cape York. Look for previous episodes at our website or search My Cape York Life on your favourite podcast app. And you can find Cape York Natural Resource Management on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Lyndall Scoble, and I'll see you next time on My Cape York Life.